Oh, she said there's another one. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So I want to start with a little story about two friends. These friends are named Otto and Chester. And Otto and Chester have been friends for years, for many, many years. And after each of their wives had passed away, they took to meeting together regularly for lunch, for dinner, just kind of enjoying each other's company. Now, since they'd known each other for so long, they'd also be a little salty with each other. They didn't hold back, you know, as they would kind of tease each other. Now, one time they got together for dinner, and they went to a seafood restaurant, and they each ordered the fillet of sole. And after a while the waiter came back, and he came back with two pieces of fish on the same platter to be served on each of their plates individually. And one piece of fish was a very large piece, very nice and large, looked great. And the other one was much, much smaller. Now Otto took up the platter from the waiter. He thanked him, and then he started serving up the fish. And he took the small piece of fish, placed it on a plate, and then he handed it across to Chester and gave him that piece. And Chester goes, "Well, you certainly do have the nerve." "What?" said Otto. Chester goes, "Look at what you've done. You've given me the little piece, and you kept the big piece for yourself." Well, Otto says, "Well, fine. What would you have done?" Chester replied, "Well, if I was serving, I would have been considerate, and I would have given you the big piece." "Well," replied Otto, "well, I've saved you the work. I got the big piece, right?" And the two friends, they just laughed it off, and they actually enjoyed dinner with each other. Now, on one hand, we could see how Chester would be frustrated. We know what it's like to feel like you've gotten drew the short straw, right? And things aren't fair. If you get a crummy used pencil or a pair of used white socks or a donut that's been run over, like our kids, we know what it's like there. When things aren't fair, especially when someone seems to be thinking only of themselves, when they're inconsiderate. And on the other hand, we can relate to Otto too. We know that deep down, we want that big piece of fish for ourselves. We want the nice things for ourselves, and we don't want to hand away, give away the good stuff. And maybe it's not fish, right? Like in our joke. Maybe it's that big piece of cake with lots of frosting and that frosting rose on top of it. You know, maybe it's the middle of a soft pretzel, the knot, the good part of the pretzel. Maybe it's that perfectly poured beer, not that one that's all full of foam. I don't know, can you guys tell that I'm hungry here and didn't have breakfast before we preach here, right? But we know what it's like to think of ourselves and think of ourselves first. Now today in our reading from Philippians, Paul is calling for us to be transformed. He wants us to put on a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Paul is calling us to have the mindset of Christ. So one of the things, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this reading, kind of go through verse by verse, starting with verse 5. And Paul says this, he starts this way, he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." He says, have this mind. It's an imperative statement. It's a command. Paul is saying, do this. This is not a suggestion. This isn't if you have the chance, or if it works out for you, if you think about it, or if you really consider it, maybe this would be good. No, he says, do this. Have this kind of mind, a Christ-like mind. You do this. You know, we talk about God's word. We say this is the inspired word of God, that God is speaking to us through the words of Paul. And his word today says, do this. It's a command. Have this mind among yourselves. But he also considers, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is yours in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is commanding you to do, the mindset he says you should have, you have it in Christ Jesus. God has made you his own. That's one of the gifts given in baptism. right? That God lives in us. And one of the things, you know, when water is connected with God's word, we're going to have a baptism. I've got a baptism in the chapel after the service here today. You know, say the Holy Spirit lives in us, that we are claimed by God. And so this command that God tells us to do through the words of Paul, he's given us this mindset already through Jesus Christ. It's not something we have to seek for. It's not something we have to hope for. It's given to you already. In Christ, this mindset is yours. This is yours. Now, I started this sermon with a joke about Otto and Chester. And deep down, we know these old guys. Otto and Chester, these guys are us. This is us. This is you. Paul knows us too well. He knows our mindset of just being human beings. Our natural mind wants to be all about us. Naturally, we are self-centered. We are selfish. We want the good things for ourselves. Remember God's intention for mankind, way back with Adam and Eve, to live in the perfect relationship with God and with one another, with others. That's what Kayla was teaching us with that word joy, right? Jesus and others. It's serving God perfectly and serving our neighbors in doing that in love. And there's, you know, a part of that that bristles inside of us. We don't want to do that. We don't want to serve God. We don't want to serve others. We want to serve ourselves. And this is sin. This is that aspect of being selfish and self-centered. We're kind of turned in on ourselves. Paul knows this. And that's why he's encouraging the Philippian church, why he's encouraging us today to have a new mindset, a mindset that is given to you in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes maybe we think, well, naturally, that's not us. People aren't naturally like that. And I encourage you maybe to take on this challenge. Get a bunch of little kids together, you know, some toddlers, and give them the hottest toy of the season, whatever it is. Give them one toy and watch what happens. See how all those little kids fight. One kid's going to get the toy and he's going to play with it. And he says, this is mine. And all the other kids are going to want to get that toy too. And they're going to want to play with it all on their own, not share. Now, parents aren't teaching kids to act like this. It's just naturally how we are. Naturally, that's how we frame our life. It's my time. It's my money. It's my job. All this stuff, it is mine. It's about me. And when something encroaches on that, challenges that, we get upset because this is mine. That's where that natural inclination gets us in trouble. We think about ourselves. And it's not just thinking about ourselves, it's also sin. So what does it look like to have a new mindset? What does it look like to do the thing that Paul is commanding us to do? Well, it looks like Jesus. And this is what he says in verses 6 through 8. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What does this new mindset look like? It looks like Jesus. Jesus, who was truly God, fully God, but he didn't hold on to all those honors and privileges and things that come from being divine. He rather gave himself up completely in service to us human beings. It's taking on the form of a servant. See, consider this. Jesus didn't give up being God. He didn't suddenly become not God when he came down here to be with us. No, Jesus is and always will be and always was God. But coming down, wrapping himself in our flesh, being like one of us, Jesus chose not to always use his divine powers. Fancy way we talk about this in the church. We call this a state of humiliation. Jesus humbled himself. He put aside all those rights, those privileges, those powers, those things there of being divine. He put that aside for us. The Holy One with all the glory came down to be with us, to serve us, to be like us. And in doing this, he was poor, he was rejected, he was mocked, he was hated, and he was even killed. Verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven, the one whom every knee will bow to him, before him when he returns, this one wrapped himself in our skin, came down to be like us, to serve us, to love us, to save us, to forgive us, and to do this, he humbled himself to the cross. He died. He's coming to die. And this is what the story of Jesus, it's so amazing. It makes us shake our head, right? And how amazing God truly is. See, crucifixion is a horrible, nasty, evil way to kill a person. This is the death for criminals. This is something that makes death long and drawn out and slow and painful. It's to cause a lot of suffering. And this is what God, what Jesus, the Son of God, endured for us. But in his death, in this death, Jesus is shedding his blood for us. He's dying for us. He saved us. One of the churchy ways we describe this is that he atoned for our sins. He made payment for our sins. Sometimes it's a strange concept to us because we know this perfect sacrifice in Jesus. But the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't like any other sacrifice that had to have been done before, that had to be repeated over and over again. No, this is a perfect sacrifice. God himself became the sacrifice. The holy, perfect, sinless one becomes the sacrifice for the unholy, the imperfect, the unclean, the sinful ones, for you and for me and for the entire world. And in this sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, it only needs to be done once. Once for all, for everyone, through all time. This is the new mindset Paul's talking about. This giving that we have in Jesus. So that now you are standing before God as perfectly forgiven. You've been promised eternity in Jesus Christ. And you have that now in Jesus because of what Jesus has done for you. Verse 9 says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. The Holy One who stooped down low to be with us. The one who didn't completely use his divine powers as he's been made incarnate. He died in our place, but he also rose from the dead. He also rose from the dead. The Father exalted the Son, raised him up, right? Raised Jesus from the dead. So we say Jesus is no longer in the state of humiliation where he put aside those aspects of being God and divine and didn't always use them. Now he's raised up. Now he's exalted, lifted up in a new and glorious body. And the one who is both God and man, the one who's the perfect sacrifice for us, this risen Jesus, the one who conquered death and sin and the grave, he's worthy of all glory and honor and praise. This idea of exaltation. It's not that Jesus suddenly became almighty again. No, he was always almighty. He was already glorious. He was already the ruler of all things. But this almighty one who lowered himself for the sake of us sinful creatures, he's now raised from the dead. The Father raises him up. So we say that Jesus is the risen one. He's the one who's both God and man. And now Jesus always uses his divine powers. There's no longer a place where he sets those aside for us. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the devil. And he now fully uses those divine powers. The one who has died is now alive. And in that death and resurrection, he opened heaven to all of us. There's no separation between you and God. You're connected to God, right? That's honestly what we celebrate every single weekend. Whether we're joined out here in an outdoor worship service, whether we're gathering together for a wonderful Easter service, whether it's just a normal Sunday there in the church sanctuary, right? That's what the service is all about. That's what Sunday is all about. That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrate that. That the tomb was empty. That the life that Jesus lives brings us such joy, a new mindset, right? and that our Savior lives. It frames how we look at life. It frames how we look at God. It frames how we look and serve one another. Verse 10 says this, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of what Jesus has done, because of who Jesus is for us, he is the one that is to be worshipped forever. All will finally bow before Jesus as Lord. All here in heaven and on earth, everyone will bow before Jesus because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We don't only confess this, stand up and say, this is who Jesus is. We worship this Jesus because he is our God. Paul goes through all of this. This little section here, verses 5 through 11, it's like the second article of the Apostles' Creed. It's talking about the entire life and ministry of Jesus, who came, who died, who rose, and who will come again. The story of Jesus encourages us in a new mindset. Jesus enables you to live in a humble manner, not for yourself, but for God and for others. The one in charge of all things humbled himself for you, stooped low for you, served you, so that you're forgiven of everything, so that you can serve God and you can serve one another. Now, knowing that forgiveness, knowing this eternal life, knowing the promise that you have in Jesus, you are encouraged to live a life not seeking your recognition, not seeking just what's best for you, not being first, not being selfish, but living a life for others. Living a life for God and living a life for others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the reminder Paul has before us. It's Jesus. That Jesus didn't do these things for himself, and we don't live our life for ourselves. Have this mindset, the mindset of serving God and serving others as you live out in this world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.